peace with God.
The Super Bowl, the most watched sporting event in the United States. It brings people together for parties in homes all across the country. But what do those homes look like after the parties are over? What does your home look like on any given day?
Is your home happy? Is your home free from tension that possesses so many homes today? Or is your home turmoil and strife? Or is it a broken home? Or is it a home about to break up?
Today, Billy Graham teaches on the importance that God places on the home.
Now, the first thing that God did after creation was to establish the home.
Don't miss Billy Graham's message coming up in just a moment here on Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer, and along with Billy Graham's teaching on the home, you'll also hear from Super Bowl veteran Tim Brown as he talks about God's work in his life.
In prayer one night, I mean, as clear as day, what was dropped in my spirit was, I don't have you here just so you can make the Hall of Fame. I have you here so you can reach out to young men.
Former Oakland Raider Tim Brown will share more of his story in just about 10 minutes.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message looks at what the Bible has to say about having a happy home. It comes from Billy Graham's 1968 crusade in San Antonio, Texas. Let's begin listening.
Now tonight I want to talk on the subject of the home. How to save your marriage. How to have a happy home. And our text is found in Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 3. These words. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. There's a wonderful romantic story in the Bible, in the book of Ruth. The Bible is a book of romance, as well as adventure and excitement and redemption. My wife's name is Ruth. She was born and reared in China. And she came to the United States to go to college when she was about 18. I saw her walk across the campus and fell in love with her, even before I'd ever met her. And this year we celebrate 25 years of marriage, our 25th wedding anniversary. And it's been a 25-year honeymoon. And I was trying to think the other day the things that have made it a successful marriage. And the basic reason for the successful marriage has been that we have believed that marriage should be built on the foundations of the teachings of the Bible. And we've tried to order our marriage on the words of the Bible. And we found that the laws regulating marriage given many centuries ago work in the 20th century. And we have proven it in our marriage. Now, I must confess that I have an exceptional wife. It certainly hasn't been very much of my doing because I've been home only about a fourth of the time of our marriage. She went away to school in Korea when she was just a small girl. And she said, when I said goodbye to my parents, I never dreamed that God was preparing me for a lifetime of goodbyes. But it has been a lifetime of goodbyes and hellos and honeymoons. And it's been a magnificent adventure to be married to a girl by the name of Ruth. I read an editorial in a newspaper the other day. And it said that a great revolution was going on in America. In fact, it said many revolutions. And it said the greatest revolution of all is the changing concept of marriage. In the New York Times, there was an ad recently announcing the biography of a very famous showman by his sister. And it listed his various wives and told all about them. And then the last sentence of the ad says this, you will find out why he never achieved the one success he wanted the most, a lasting, happy marriage. Is your marriage successful? Is your home happy? Is your home free from tension that possesses so many homes today? Or is your home turmoil and strife? Or is it a broken home? Or is it a home about to break up? Nearly all of our domestic problems faced by the nation begin in the home. We see on our screens the riots, the crime. Where does it begin? Most of our sociologists and criminologists tell us it begins in the home. A nation can never rise higher than its home life. Bitterness, crime, alienation, and even war begins in the home. Now, the first thing that God did after creation was to establish the home. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make an associate to help him. And God created the woman to help man. Before the government, before the church, before any other institution, he established the home. And yet today, the home in our country is in danger. And the Bible says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The home is the very foundation of our society. We've got to reestablish the home as the basic unit of our society. And what are some of the elements in a successful and happy marriage? First, there must be a divinely ordered marriage. The Bible says if a house is divided against itself, that house or that home cannot stand. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, this applies only to Christians. If you're a Christian, we are to marry another Christian. That's what that is saying. And in the Old Testament, God said to the people, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children, and that they might have happy homes forever. The fear of the Lord and obedience to His plans and regulations for marriage almost guarantees a successful marriage, and it must begin in courtship. Start dating the right girl or the right fellow. Have prayer together. And then when you start talking seriously, how about asking God to lead and to direct? So many marriages today are on the basis of physical attraction rather than that inner beauty of character, because I want to tell you that physical attraction soon passes unless there's something to back it up with called Christian character. You give your life to Christ. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Put your life in His hands. Let Him fill your heart. God will lead you to the right girl or to the right fellow. And it'll be God's choice, because you see, God has someone picked out just for you. Try to find that girl or that fellow on your own, you're going to make a tragic mistake. You'll get less than God's best. Let Him help you in picking out the right person. Secondly, a successful marriage is one that is a daily fidelity to the marriage vow. You promise to be faithful till death do you part. The Scripture has put a fence around marriage, and God has said, thou shalt not. What is it? Thou shalt not commit adultery. The sex sin before marriage will break down your character and your ideals, and it will certainly jeopardize your future marriage. Put that down. Sex outside of marriage is a sin according to the Bible. Not because God doesn't want you to have a good time. It's a sin because of what it does to you psychologically, what it does to your future marriage. But the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And after your marriage, and you commit this sin, The Bible says it's one of the seven deadly sins and one of the worst sins that you can commit before God. And the Bible says it hardens your heart toward God more than any other sin. But if you tonight are willing to turn from that sin and give it up, willing to break off that relationship that God condemns, Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you can find forgiveness, and you can put your wrecked life back together again with God's help. He will forgive you, and you can leave here as clean and as pure as though you had never committed a sin.
Would you like to experience that kind of forgiveness? Learn more by going to our website, peacewithgodradio.org, and clicking on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us. The number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. The rest of Billy Graham's message is coming up in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
The Bible made no sense to Louis Zamperini and his army buddies serving in World War II.
We'd sit there and talk about it, open it up, read it. What do you think it's saying? So we just discarded the Bible.
But soon Louis would be trying to make deals with God. You see, his plane crashed over the Pacific. He survived 47 days on a raft. Then he was held in a Japanese POW camp for 2.5 years.
Spare my life to the war and I'll seek you and serve you.
Louis Zamperini did make it home, but he didn't fulfill those promises until after he gave his life to Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade in 1949. That's also when the Bible finally began to make sense to him.
You're talking about a miracle. The first time in my life I understood what the Bible was saying. And I sat there under a tree on a bench and tears began to roll down my face.
Discover the treasures God has for you in the Bible. But first, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Go to billygraham.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's billygraham.org.
Thanks for being with us for this edition of Peace with God. This is Super Bowl weekend, and for Tim Brown, it brings back memories of playing for the Oakland Raiders in Super Bowl 37 in 2003.
God gave me a lesson right in the middle of what I thought was the most important night of my life.
That lesson was that football was not the most important part of Tim's life. You see, his wife, who was pregnant with twins, went into labor the night of Super Bowl 37. Tim flew to the hospital immediately after the game, which the Raiders lost to Tampa Bay.
And I can remember walking around the hospital with the babies in my arm, and one of the nurses came up to me and said, I really feel bad about what happened earlier tonight. And I had no clue. I could not think of what she was talking about. And I was looking at her, and I had this look on my face, and I said, ma'am, I don't know what you're saying. And she said, the Super Bowl? I was like, oh, yeah, that.
Tim says God showed him that being a godly father to his children was more important than his football career. He says God has also showed him he wants to use Tim's football career to point others to Jesus.
In prayer one night, I mean, as clear as day, what was dropped in my spirit was, I don't have you here just so you can make the Hall of Fame. I have you here so you can reach out to young men. Once I accepted that, I realized how huge a calling that is. And I realized that God was just building my platform.
Tim was recently at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, signing copies of his book, The Making of a Man, How Men and Boys Honor God and Live with Integrity. You can hear more of our interview with Tim by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on TV and radio. Then look for stories and interviews.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
On today's program, you're getting biblical advice on how to have a happy home and marriage. Billy Graham's already talked about the importance of trusting God and being faithful to your spouse. Now he looks at what's often called a family altar.
That means having daily prayer. In Acts 5, it says, and daily in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The scripture continually talks about the church in the house. You had to have prayer and Bible reading in your home. Do you have it in your home? Do you say a blessing at the table before you eat? Do you have a time when you get your family together for a few minutes and you read them a few verses and have a prayer? In our home, we have prayer and Bible reading. We make it very brief and very short. Maybe you've never had Bible reading and prayer in your home, and you'd be a little embarrassed to talk to your wife about it or your husband about it, and you don't know how to bring it up. It's sort of an embarrassing subject, and you know, I've never understood that. Why it's embarrassing to talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is it embarrassing to talk about the Queen of England? Is it embarrassing to talk about some famous film star? Is it embarrassing to talk about some scientific discovery? Why is it embarrassing to talk about the Creator of the whole universe? And why are we timid about talking to Him? We have the privilege of coming into His presence every day, into the throne room, and it will do more to help solve your problems as a family. And yet we don't use that privilege. Why has Satan somehow trapped us into thinking that prayer doesn't count? You know, a lot of people wait until their children are grown or half grown before they start trying to teach them anything, and then it's too late. Unless you have your child pretty well by the time he's 5 or 6, it's almost too late. The Bible says here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, a little bit here, a little bit there. You can't wait till he gets to be about 12 or 13 and suddenly try to jam religion down his throat. It won't work. You've got to start when they're small and do it a little bit over time. But you say, Billy, I've already been such a failure as a parent. Start now. A little bit now. Ask God to forgive you in the past. Say, oh God, I've been a failure. Please help me and forgive me. He will. And if you are sincere in your heart about it and you really make a turn and a change tonight, I believe that God will help you with those children no matter what age they are. You can start tonight. And then fourthly, for a successful marriage, there must be a dedicated father and a husband. The scripture says, and the Lord said, for I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Wouldn't you like that to be said about you? The Bible says Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, sometimes that takes help from the wife, but it takes a dedicated husband and father for a successful home. And the Bible holds the man accountable and responsible. And if the man is not meeting that responsibility, God is going to hold him responsible at the judgment. You say, well, I haven't been the right kind of a husband and I haven't been the right kind of a father. What am I going to do? Get on your knees right now and ask God to forgive you. And determine from this moment on that you're going to live a new life. You're going to let Christ into your heart. You're going to ask Him to forgive your sin and come into your life and make you the right kind of a husband and the right kind of a father. And then, fifthly, to have a successful marriage, there must be a devoted wife and mother. The Bible says, let mothers first show piety at home, for that is good and acceptable before God. The Bible says, women should guide the house and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And you know, sometimes on a television interview, we'll see a housewife that's being interviewed and they say, what do you do? And she says, well, I'm just a housewife, sort of apologizing. I'm no star, I'm no glamour person, I'm just an ordinary housewife. Well, I want to say that to be a housewife and to be a mother is the greatest calling in the world. You know, they took a survey some time ago to determine what is the greatest factor in the development of a child's character. And the surprising conclusion was this: it did not matter. The thing that shaped their characters more than any other factor was the overall atmosphere of the home, particularly the attitude of the mother. Her attitude toward God, the attitude of the parents toward each other, their attitude toward money. Is money the all-important thing in your home? If so, you're destroying your children. They see your values. You put more value on money than you do anything else, or on the things that money can buy. And covetousness has become your sin. This infects the children, and it affects the children. Your attitude toward the world situation. Are you wringing your hand all the time and saying the world's going to the devil, it's going to the dogs? Or do you tell them God's plan from the Bible, that Christ is coming back to set up His kingdom, and utopia is coming, and we may see world problems gathering on the horizon, but beyond the horizon is the kingdom of God. And they see the smile of faith on your face. What about your attitude toward work? You tell them that they ought to work, but they don't see your attitude toward work as one of joy and thrill and excitement. You know, God ordained us for work. And then what is your attitude toward law and order? You want your boy to obey. But does he see you going down the highway 10 miles an hour faster than the speed limit, looking in that rearview mirror to see if a policeman is following, and then if you get away with it, you laugh and make fun of the law? No wonder he disobeys you. No wonder he rebels. No wonder he goes out and gets in trouble. He's seen the discrepancy and the hypocrisy in your own life in the little things. You tell them one thing and live another. And then sixthly, a determined destiny. Get your house in order, the scripture says. Is your own house in order? Have you made a decision for Christ? The scripture says, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house we will serve the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Tonight, you can receive Christ. Fathers, husbands, wives, mothers, young people, children, you can receive Christ and go back to your home tonight, forgiven of your mistakes and failures and sins of the past, walking with a renewed life because Christ has died for you and risen again from the dead and offers all of you tonight forgiveness, reconciliation to God, and reconciliation to each other. You say, but what do I have to do? First, you must repent of your sin. That means you're willing to say, oh God, I've sinned. I'm willing to give up my sins. I'm willing to change my way of life. That's repentance. And secondly, by faith, you receive Him as your Savior. You cannot understand it intellectually all the way, but by faith, you receive Him. And you're willing to go back and live a clean, wholesome life before God. Now, this doesn't mean you'll be perfect. You'll still have pressures and problems of every kind, perhaps more than before. But God will be in your heart. He will be there to help you every day and every hour to do one of the greatest tasks He ever assigned us, to have our part in a home somewhere. As a son, as a daughter, as a father, as a mother, as a husband and a wife, I'm going to ask you to receive Him.
Regardless of what your family situation is, God wants you to be part of His family, to be in a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. You can learn more at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And if you'd rather talk with someone, just give us a call. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You're listening to Peace with God.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
In today's message, Billy Graham explained that the only way for a home to be truly happy is for the people in that home to know God. And that can only happen, says Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, when you know God's Word.
When do you read your Bible? And when you do, is it just for facts and information? Or do you read it listening for His voice to speak to you through it? It's His Word that gives us encouragement in despair, comfort in isolation, strength in weakness, joy in tears, purpose in struggle, wisdom in decisions. Because through His Word, you and I know Him. 1 John 2:3 says, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands." Knowing God is the magnificent obsession of my life because He gives me acceptance in my rejection, love in my loneliness, grace in my failures, hope in my grief, and a lap to crawl into and a shoulder to cry on. How could I exist without Him? How could I ever begin to know Him without His Word? Listen to me. Get to know God. Start reading your Bible now. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
One of the promises that God makes in the Bible is that Jesus will give us a peace that passes understanding. And on next week's program, you'll hear Ann's dad, Billy Graham, teach more about the peace that Jesus offers.
Now, he doesn't take your troubles and problems away, but he gives you a peace and a joy that will enable you to go through them and live through them if you put your trust and your faith in him.
Please make plans to be with us for next week's edition of Peace with God. This program is one of the many ways the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association shares the message of Jesus with people who need the hope that he offers. You can be a part of this work through your prayers and financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can give over the phone by calling 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. I'm Bill Meyer. We're so glad you joined us for this edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.